SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, yes, it's time to rise and grind on this beautiful Thursday morning. It is officially the month of May. This is the early line. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Joe Ranieri. For the next 3 hours, we're going to have you covered on all the hottest topics across the sports landscape. It's May. It feels good. The energy is high. Teams are getting knocked out of the playoffs left and right. Major League Baseball, afternoon slate, more NFL talk. This is what we do. Joe Ranieri.
2.5 months away from the NFL training camps. Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there, Donnie. Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there, man. Oh. Let's kick off May the right way.
I'm telling you right now, like when I think about you, I have the same mindset as you. I go, okay, May's here, which means it's already done. Then we're into June, you get to relax, and all of a sudden you hit July, where there is preseason football games and training camps start. It feels like we just watched the Philadelphia Eagles knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, and here we are talking about football in May. It is a wonderful, wonderful day. But we got a lot of hot topics to get through all throughout, and as I said, the next 3 hours, it's jam-packed. The NHL, we got you covered. The NBA, we got you covered. Major League Baseball, and again, yes, more NFL talk and football talk on the way, Joe. So let's not waste any more time and hit the 7-7, the biggest topics across the sports landscape. I'm baffled. We're going to talk about this multiple times today. No way, shape, or form in my mind, Joe Ranieri, did I think the Los Angeles Lakers would be knocked out in round number one, let alone game number five, on their home court. The NBA ratings will dip, and I cannot believe the Minnesota Timberwolves tore them apart in five games. Help me out, Joe. Help me out.
Well, apparently it's not rigged after all, Donnie, because the Lakers are no longer in it. LeBron got very old very quickly, and Doncic has got to be the most in-shape, out-of-looking-shape guy that I've ever seen in my entire life here, just laboring up and down the court. The bottom line is the Lakers were not a good team as currently constructed, and they knew it. And the just a terrible matchup for the Lakers in the first round, and the Minnesota Timberwolves did a great job of exploiting them.
They really did. By the way, LeBron James, 22 points. Rui Hachimura, 23 points. Luka Doncic, 20. It still wasn't good enough. This game was close into the fourth quarter, and the Lakers just did not have enough gas in the tank. We'll talk about this game a little bit more later in the show. Another game last night, live from H-Town. That was the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. What did we think was going to happen in this one? How about a blowout in the first half into the second half for the Rockets with a double-digit victory where they were favored by 3.5 to 4.5, depending on where you're shopping before the game happened. The Rockets force a game number six. They came alive in H-Town last night, Joe.
Yeah, that game, it was over in the first the first quarter. I mean, when they dropped 40 on them, and it was, you could just tell the Rockets had the energy of the home crowd. Listen, they were one of the better home teams in the NBA all year long. They're an inexperienced playoff group. It's not going to matter if you can't win one on the road. So expected them to win last night, but we're going to see if they grow up fast enough in order to win one on the road and get it back to their home building for a game seven.
It's interesting, too, because sometimes you see this in playoff series, and typically you don't see it from teams that have won multiple championships with players still left around like the Golden State Warriors. It really felt like, Joe, they went on the road and were like, let's see what happens in the first quarter. And if it doesn't work out in our direction, we're just going to send everybody to the bench and we'll get ready for game six because it's in our back pocket in our own building. Interesting concept there where it gives Houston a little bit more life, but we'll see what they have on the road in game number six against the Golden State Warriors. Award season has begun in the NBA. My favorite one, too, is the most improved player, which the Hawks' Dyson Daniels ended up getting that. Does that mean we were injured or we just stunk last year? Now we get a little bit better. I always love this award and how the voters vote on it, Joe.
Yeah, it's an interesting criteria. I don't know if I want that award. I really don't. You're definitely not getting the most consistent award is basically what they're telling you here. So, kudos. At least Atlanta can celebrate something this season because nothing else seemed to go right for him.
It's like you're in grade school, right? It's like, hey, most improved student, which means, yeah, the guy couldn't read 6 months ago. Yeah. Now he can read a little bit. Congratulations. Take that home to your parents and celebrate at that point. But more awards certainly on the way in the NBA, but that is most improved. All right, take it with a grain of salt here. I'll tell you who's most improved organization right now. Is it the Atlanta Falcons trying to tighten the ship, not let information get out to 21-year-old kids who can use that said information to prank other athletes here. The NFL fines the Falcons and defensive coordinator Jeff Albrick over the Shedeur Sanders prank call.
This is all about making an example. If you want to ever know when people say, oh, they got to make an example of this, that's what the NFL is doing. They're making an example here to make sure it never happens again, even though it might have been one of the funniest pranks I think I've heard of in a very long time. Kudos to the kids that pulled it off. Glad to see that this generation here, Donnie, still has enough humor left in them to be able to do what they did there. But I guess the NFL didn't see it that way.
There you go. And by the way, Joe, I hear behind the scenes tell everybody to lose your number all the time. Shedeur should have just said that. Hey, buddy, lose my number. And it would have been over right there. But it is what it is. The NFL's got to tighten up that ship so it could never, ever, Joe, happen again. We'll see how that one plays out. I'll tell you what can never, ever play itself out again. Bill Belichick doing interviews that are supposed to be puff pieces that ask a couple personal questions. And now we take a look at Bill Belichick and his girlfriend seemingly too controlling on TV and the fallout. Who would ever thought Bill Belichick, the most private guy in sports history, it felt like, is now an open book and he don't like it too much.
No, he wanted nothing to do with it. I'm shocked it even got to that particular point. I really am. I mean, if there's anybody that can't wait for football season to start, it's Bill Belichick. He'll be on to Clemson, I promise you.
Now, what's going to happen in the fall when, like, the girlfriend is calling defenses and like, hey, send in the nickel formation right now. 4-3 blitz, 4-3 blitz. Like, is she going to be a coach on this staff on the sidelines for this fall? I believe she's going to be like Big Dom on the sideline getting the headset out there. Like, you know what? I deserve to be here.
Rick Pitino had some helpers, too, along the way there in college. Wow. So who knows? You never know exactly what's going to happen these days here to recruit, especially with the NIL money. But the bottom line, Donnie, if she helps them win football games, does it really matter?
Yeah. No, they'll love it at North Carolina, think it's great. Maybe other schools will emulate that as well. But some things that we always know will happen is Bill Belichick is a good coach. We think that's going to be the transition here for North Carolina. You know what else always happens? Mike Trout opens the season, and then it's like, hey, Mike, are you injured again? Yeah, I think I'm injured again. Trout leaves the Mariners game with knee soreness. My goodness, this guy could have had the single best career we've ever watched, and it just deteriorates with injuries year after year, Joe.
Calendar struck May 1st. What did you think was going to happen, Donnie? I mean, rinse and repeat with Trout. We'll see him again probably end of what, August for a couple of weeks, and then that'll be the end of it. So kind of rinse and repeat. But he is still getting paid, I believe.
Yeah, remember they could have had Shohei Ohtani and traded Mike Trout and probably had the greatest franchise in the history of sports with prospects endlessly. And they said, you know what, we'll keep Mike Trout, we'll keep Shohei Ohtani and get absolutely nothing for these guys when it's all said and done. It is what it is. But I'll tell you what, the NHL was popping last night. The Capitals, a 4-1 victory over the Canadiens to clinch that series. The Panthers dominate the Lightning in five games and move on there. And the Jets and the Blues, 5-3, the Jets now take control of that series, Joe.
Yeah, still, I thought it was kind of amusing that the Carolina Panthers were still the odds-on favorite ahead of the Florida Panthers there for the East. But we'll see. We'll see how that works out for Carolina.
By the way, other highlights, I guess to say, or even lowlights here. You know, Abdul Carter was actually pranked as well. But did you see Pittsburgh last night? The guy that fell over the Clemente wall mid-game? Unbelievable. Now, prayers for the guy. I don't know what the situation was, but my goodness, that was frightening, Joe.
I'm trying to figure out how it looked like he was trying to do a handstand and he fell. It was just the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, my goodness, right over to the field on that. So other highlights here that we have from yesterday. Also, Jordan Travis retires due to that injury. It's a shame. Great Florida State quarterback, terrible injury. Much more on the early line next right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, boy, the Los Angeles Lakers. It's Donnie Wright's out. It's Joe Ranieri, and it is that time of year where LeBron James gets knocked out of the playoffs, and all Laker fans take that Lakers hat off and that Lakers jersey and put on the Yankees hat and the Aaron Judge jersey, and Major League Baseball has officially started for those fans here. The reason we bring that up, last night, 103-96, the Minnesota Timberwolves dispatched to the Los Angeles Lakers. And, Joe, I talked about this for the past 2 days, saying there is no way The NBA is going to let that happen, where the Lakers could get knocked out early in round number one because Luka Doncic going there with LeBron James is a ratings bonanza. It's so much fun to watch. How could Dallas make that move? Now the Lakers are going to be stone cold favorites for the next 5 years to win championships. And the Lakers go out with a whimper last night. Let's start here, Joe Ranieri. What happened in this playoff series with the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, not having a center to start with, Donnie, is what you've got to look at because, and again, this was all, I mean, we all applauded the Doncic trade for the Lakers. They kind of fleeced Dallas. But really, what that turned out to be, I think, Donnie, was a move for the future that, you know, they move on from the LeBron era and it's now going to be Luka's team because nothing about the makeup of this team was about this year. There is no way Rudy Gobert comes in and drops 27 and grabs 24 rebounds and knocks you out of the playoffs. When they went 7 of 47 from three, the Minnesota Timberwolves did last night, and the Lakers had no answer for Rudy Gobert. So, you know, that Doncic trade will be looked at as the trade for the future of the Lakers. It was never about winning anything this year. That the makeup of that team, let's face it, was not very good, and Minnesota took total advantage of it.
Let me ask you this question, too, because I love to look at the box score because it doesn't necessarily tell the tale of the game. But if I told you, Joe Ranieri, you're going to get a free wager and I got information that you can use to your advantage. The Minnesota Timberwolves will go on the road and, as you stated, shoot 7 of 47 from three-point range. And your superstar player, Anthony Edwards, is going to go 0 for 11 from three-point range and score 15 points. The outcome would have been like, oh, hey, yeah, Minnesota probably packed it in at the half and it was no big deal. They were going back for game number 6 on their home court to handle business. How could the Lakers lose a game like that with performances from the Timberwolves exactly like I just stated? That's the shocking part about it. And still into the fourth quarter, it was a close game, only for the Lakers to score 16 points with the season on the line late and couldn't get stops, couldn't make shots. It was crazy to look at because revisionist history will say, hey, Anthony Davis going over, we stole Luka Doncic. Luka looked tired in that series. I don't know if now we're hearing things that he might have had a back issue here, but that is a terrible look for a team that was trying to catch lightning in a bottle after that trade, figuring like, we stole Luka Doncic, we're ready to go. But your point is valid. They had no center. Anthony Davis, one of the best defensive centers in basketball. You lose him. And Rudy Gobert comes into your building, has no offensive game whatsoever, and drops 27. Joe, why? Because he stood under the rim, they fed him the basketball, and he laid it in repeatedly.
Yep, and it was rinse and repeat. You know, last night was the only game of this series in which the Lakers actually covered the second half. They actually won the second half. The Minnesota Timberwolves dominated them in every other game. And when it mattered the most, the fourth quarter, Donnie, right? When champions are made there in the fourth quarter, and you said it, when you score 16 points on your own home court and a team that can't hit water if they fell out of a boat in your building and you can't take advantage of it, there are some issues with that team right there. Luka does not look like A, he's in shape, or B, that he's 100% healthy. And I'm sorry, LeBron got very old very quickly. Father Time showed up in a big way in this series with LeBron James. And everyone's pointing to J.J. Redick. You burned the guys out. You played him too much. What was his choice, Donnie? What lineup was he going to roll out there to compete with Anthony Edwards in Minnesota? He had to go with his five best players. And that's exactly what he did in the last couple of games. And it didn't work out for others.
Look, I don't know where the Lakers go from here, but we're going to get to a LeBron video in just a little bit. But I want to point this out. Like, you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, head coach, rookie season here for J.J. Redick, you know, get a little testy yesterday in the pregame post or pregame press conference. They're like, hey, do you rely on your assistant coaches? Of course I do. And then he storms out of the room. Then they score 96 points to get beaten at. But let's focus here. Like, the starting lineup. Okay, it's LeBron, it's Luka. You fill around. Austin Reeves is a pretty good three option. Hachimura, Finney Smith. But you look at the bench. Playing last night and scoring 4 total points off the bench. Maxi Kleber gets 5 minutes, does nothing out here, comes back after a foot injury, hasn't played damn near the entire season. You look at Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent, 2 points and 0 points. And then you say, okay, let me go down the rest of that roster. What happened to Dalton Knecht? Like, we were talking about the first 2 months of the season. This guy was an absolute flat-out steal and a walking bucket where he does not even play on a night-to-night basis. So you're basically telling us LeBron's in his 40s. Go out there and play 40 minutes every night. Luka Doncic can barely get his breath in the second half. Go out there and play 40 minutes. What happened to the Lakers bench? What happened to the impact scoring?
How did Bronny do last night? Because I know there we rerun the clock. Wasn't there a lot of made about Bronny, right, being drafted here? That apparently didn't work out all that well. What bench, Donnie? They have no bench. That's the problem. Like, what was J.J. Redick going to do? Jackson Hayes was going to be the savior? Like, there was nowhere for them to go outside of the five starters that they had. Nowhere for them to go. And that is on the front office, which, again, that move for Doncic was about the future. It was never about this season.
It's wild, too, because, again, we're not saying, like, every team has to have a great bench, but at least when you go to the bench in Minnesota, Naz Reid gives you good minutes here. Dante DiVincenzo gives you good minutes here. Alexander Walker gives you good minutes. And, again, they only played three guys off their bench, similar to the Lakers, but you actually got impacts there. 21 minutes, correct, 32 minutes, and 25 minutes, which means you're spelling some of your superstars. And sometimes, Joe, the things I really like when I look at the Timberwolves and go, that was an ugly game. You actually went into a closeout situation in a hostile environment where that team was desperate to win to keep that series alive, and your best player was terrible, and you still won that basketball game. It's an indictment on the Lakers. It's just not a great look for them. We'll talk about LeBron James coming up after the break, but the Minnesota Timberwolves, which I'm shocked, are moving on here. And I ranted and raved about conspiracy theories and no way the Lakers can lose, and it's a guaranteed mortal lock they win game number five in their own building to show up with that kind of effort. Again, a 16-point fourth quarter with everything on the line. Disgraceful. We'll hear from LeBron James next. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tough scene for Lakers Nation out there after that loss yesterday to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 103-96. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Joe Ranieri talking a lot of fallout here in those situations. And the questions certainly are going to come. And particularly, we need answers from LeBron James. So let's take a minute to listen in to what LeBron James had to say after the loss last night.
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
Huh?
Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group, and kind of just talk through it and see what happens, and then just have a conversation with myself on how long I want to continue to play. I don't know the answer to that right now, to be honest, so we'll see.
Questions in the moment, Joe. You get a little bit of emotional, and he's certainly having a introspect into what is going to take place in the offseason, but let me ask you this question first. Did we see the last of LeBron James, or heck no, he loves to play basketball too much and he's 100% back next year?
I certainly hope we don't see him again. I hope that the Lakers traded for Doncic in hopes of moving on from LeBron James. They didn't want to hand the keys to Anthony Davis in his 30s, right? I get the whole Doncic thing, but it doesn't. Listen, anybody that has watched LeBron his entire career cannot tell me, watching him in this series, you think there's anything left in the tank. And what do you have left to accomplish? Like, why would you want to come back and be a shell of yourself? Rather retire a year early than a year late, right? Wasn't that the motto of a famous head coach? You got to move on here, LeBron. You got an entire life waiting for you outside of the NBA. That game and that series just showed me it's time, man. Move on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here, because I know LeBron James likes to play basketball. It's a spotlight. He's done it his whole life. Yes, he can retire with all the money in the world. I do think he's coming back, but I don't know if it's going to be with the Los Angeles Lakers or where he can go and what that might be. But he also said a few things in that post-game presser last night, which I always get a kick out of. Like, LeBron James said, you know, throughout his basketball career, multiple championships. There's always a fight between Jordan and LeBron, who's the best of all time. You look at the statistics for LeBron James, he basically has like every stat imaginable that are his and being the best of all time. But when they ask him a question like, you know, your favorite basketball moments here throughout your career. Was it your first championship in Miami? Was it getting drafted number one overall? Was it making every all-star team or just being a superstar athlete in the NBA? It was no. I got to play with my son, Bronny, which, again, is not really an achievement when you place him on that basketball team. Quite frankly, he could have had his daughter on the basketball team with the Lakers, and they would have let that happen here at this point. So for him to say right away, like, you know what, had a lot of great moments, but playing with my son was the best of it. It's like, come on, LeBron, let's get real at this point.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, it's obviously, it was a goal of his. He got it, and no matter, you know, nepotism alive and well within the Lakers organization. But the reality is here, Donnie, you got that, right? And it didn't work out, let's be realistic. And quite honestly, at this point, if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, I'm hoping that he takes a step back and maybe moves to a front office role or something along those lines, because he didn't do them any favors. LeBron had multiple opportunities in that game last night to take control of it. And instead of taking it to the hoop or, you know, a wide open three, he just kept passing the ball, Donnie. He didn't want anything to do with it. And it showed last night. So I think, you know, it's time to hang it up, man. It really is. He's a shell of what he was in his prime, for sure.
Let's just say Los Angeles says, all right, we're going to head into the offseason. Now, here's also what I get a kick out of as well. Some agents understand the task at hand when they can have clairvoyance about what's going to take place in the future and say, what do you mean? LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Rob Pelinka signs a brand new big extension because he stole Luka Doncic. And only a few short days later, they're knocked out in round number one. So let me ask you this question on Rob Pelinka. What does he do with the Lakers, assuming Luka comes back and LeBron comes back? He's supposed to be the GM of the year because he stole Luka Doncic in a first-round playoff exit, which I can almost guarantee if AD was still there, they'd probably win at least a round in the playoffs here. What happens with Rob Pelinka? How does he make changes?
Not cut a deal with LeBron James and get him out. The bottom line, I mean, as soon as possible, because quite honestly, without, you know, you're going to have with having to pay him and Luka and everybody else. You know, that you need to hit the reset button and you've got your future on the team. His name is Luka Doncic.
There you go. Your future superstar right there. Rob Pelinka's got to owe him half his paycheck for making that trade and saying, hey, I'm the smartest GM of all time, only to get knocked out in round number one. There were two elimination games last night. Let's talk about the team that elimination next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159. Sports Grid Network, Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside here on a Thursday morning, breaking down the NBA and what happened last night. And yes, we did spend a lot of time talking about the Los Angeles Lakers because that's big news, not only for losing round number one in the playoffs, what's going to happen in the future, and away you go because their offseason, Joe, starts right now. You know, his offseason got extended just a little bit more from elimination. That's the Rockets. They won last night, 131-116. I always say this, Joe, because sometimes elimination games, specifically earlier in the series, like the gentleman sweeping game number five, you say, boy, look at the Rockets yesterday. Favored, let's just say, by 4 points at game time. I can't believe that. The Warriors are much better than them. Jimmy Butler's healthy. They've already shown they're a better team than the Rockets. They should be able to handle their business. And I always say, how do these teams come out of the gate? You saw the Timberwolves, 31-22 over the Lakers last night. That was an indication of how that game might go. Same thing with the Rockets. You want to stave off elimination. You want to send a message early, Joe. How about a 40-24 first quarter yesterday? And it was effectively over, it felt like, in the first 6 to 7 minutes.
Yeah, and you know what it was? The leader of the Rockets after that game four loss in which, once again, the inexperience of the Rockets reared its ugly head. I mean, going into that game last night, Donnie, 35 missed free throws in the series for the Houston Rockets. And you know when a majority of those were, Donnie? In the third and fourth quarter in the second half. That's experience right there. And Fred VanVleet, who is really the veteran presence on this team, man, he was animated after that game four loss. And you could tell right off the bat that he was going to be the guy on the court for the Rockets last night. I think he had 26. And that game was never even close. It was over in the first quarter there. So kudos to Brad Van Fleet, who's been there, has got the ring. You know, he was there in Toronto with Kawhi when they ended up winning it all. So he's got the experience. He's one of the only guys on his team, really, with that kind of experience. But they got to grow up in a hurry. It's not good enough just to win games at home. You got to win one on the road, and we'll see what they got for a game six.
It's pretty nuts when you play it out, too, because sometimes the inexperienced teams, Joe, that don't really know how to close out series, like you take it for granted. Yep. We got game six in our own building. Let's see what happens here in Houston when usually championship organizations understand the task at hand. Don't give that team any life. Put that fire out in game number five, and we move on, we get rest, and we get ready for round number two. You take a look at Jimmy Butler, 2 of 10 from the floor. Steph Curry, 4 of 12 from the floor, 25 and 23 minutes, basically to the bench for the entirety of the second half. But I do want to bring up some pretty good spots here for the Houston Rockets, where you're waiting for things to start to turn around. Amen Thompson, great young basketball player already. 8 of 12 in that game, very aggressive on offense. 8 of 9 from the field for the free throw shots. 25 points total, 24 out of Brooks, 26 out of Van Vliet. Şengün, who's really been their best player overall, only 15 points. But how about this? They're doing all of this in Houston without getting anything for the majority of the series outside of game number two from Jalen Green. So when I look at things like, hey, last night Anthony Edwards had a bad game, they still won. You had the Rockets play their best game of the series without their best player even showing up once again. What's it going to take to get Jalen Green back and engaged into the series, which could really help Houston in game number six?
Well, he got, you know, he was taken out early in the first half of that game with the knee, and he kept icing his knee and holding his knee, and then he was questionable to be able to come back in. But really, at that point, they didn't need anything from Jalen Green. And listen, another very young player for Houston that has got to learn to be able to do it on the road. You just can't drop 30-plus points at home. You know, they need you on the road. He was MIA in Golden State. I mean, absolutely MIA. They need him to be able to bring something to the table. They also need him healthy as well. I don't know what the final determination with the knee was, but if that's a problem moving forward, they need to address that sooner rather than later here. But when you look at the minutes that, and maybe this is not a great thing for Houston, that, you know, Draymond had 18, Steph and Jimmy only played about 20. I think it was 18 minutes left and in the end of the third quarter, the entire fourth quarter. And it was, you know, that was it. You got to rest all your older players here, and they know what time it is. The question is, does Houston understand what's at stake in game six? Because certainly those three guys are going to be well rested heading into it.
It got testy. It got feisty in the second half. You know, Kerr wasn't putting the starters back in, was full court pressing down 15 with a minute to go, using coaches' challenges to extend that game. It was kind of wild. So there is some animosity, which you get from a longer series, which now is at least going to go six games as it moves back to Golden State. And if we take a look at the betting markets now, Joe, here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for game number six, how about this? Still a heavy, heavy favorite for the Golden State Warriors, who are expecting to close out in game number six, a minus 550 price to win the series. If you're looking for the Rockets, I think they can steal game six and game seven. It's a plus 410 price. Game six over under 204.5 and a game line of -5. Looking at those price points here in game number six, do you like the way that Golden State played? Like, hey, wasn't our night. Let's rest up. Let's go home and handle our business. Or do you think you might have a little lightning in the bottle here with those Houston Rockets?
I don't. I had Houston a year away from truly being, you know, somebody we need to consider coming out of the West and making a run at a championship. They've got the coaching. They've got the talent. They're just a little young and a little inexperienced, and that matters. And you're going to see that in game six when Jimmy Butler has an opportunity to close you out. That's going to be the difference. While you guys were missing free throws on the road, Jimmy Butler was making his, and that's ultimately the difference in this series thus far. I don't see that changing on Golden State's home court. I still think the Rockets are a year away from being truly a contender for a world championship.
Let's re-rack the West right now. If we take a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, at the odds to win the Western Conference, the Thunder here at minus 200 favor, slightly increasing. The Timberwolves now winning their series, move into second place in the odds market at plus 600, followed by the Warriors, Nuggets, Clippers, and the Rockets now at 41-1 to move on. And again, that's going to be a tall task. But looking at some of those odds, any buying points for you here, Joe? Do you agree with some of these odds?
Well, let's think about it here. If Golden State wins game six, they're on the road to Minnesota. right? If Houston were to come back, then Minnesota's on the road in Houston here as they're the two seed. So Minnesota's sitting good, but I'm just curious. Are we sleeping on the Nuggets, Donnie? I mean, what else? Are we sleeping on them at 14-1?
Now, hear me out on this, because I've had this series pretty much called right down the wire. I don't think the Nuggets are winning tonight, Joe, but they're winning game number 7. So for me, if I look at that price point and say the Nuggets at 14-1, what does that change, by the way? Because let's just say the Clippers, who I think win tonight 16-1, where do those price points go? Because are the Clippers going to be a favorite again in Denver after we just saw that in game number 5? So for me, again, I do think the Clippers win tonight. I'm holding off on the Nuggets. I'm waiting for the loss. Then I'm betting the Nuggets after that because I think the price point's going to be better.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great point. If you think the Clippers are eventually going to move on, now would be the time to be able to jump in. But you can say the same thing about Denver, because they win this series, they move on. They're going to be a favorite in nearly half the games from this way out, unless they got to go to OKC. So I think this is very interesting what's happening with the Denver Nuggets. Not a ton of depth, but experience, right? And those guys are willing to go 40-plus minutes a game to get it done.
Take a look at the NBA championship odds here quickly from the FanDuel Sportsbook. And again, no surprises. The Thunder are +140. It's the Celtics +195. And there are the Cavaliers at a +480 price, followed by the Warriors, T-Wolves, Nuggets, Clippers, Knicks, Pacers, and Rockets here. Any quick thoughts here on the overall championship odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Yeah, the Cavs are just being, third best, really? Third best? That team looks like they are poised to make a run at the Boston Celtics. Just saying, can't sleep on them. And by the way, the Timberwolves, 23-1.
Rudy Gobert, advanced, Donnie. Offense. Yeah, exactly. Moving on to the next round. No sweat in their game here, but it is funny because those Cavaliers, who to me were, second best in the NBA, always disrespected, now playing their best basketball, even without a starter in the lineup, always the team to watch there in the Eastern Conference. Let's talk some Major League Baseball. Mike Trout, say it ain't so.
Ow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of day action today in Major League Baseball, which we will get to into hour 3 of the show, but there are some highlights and maybe some lowlights from Major League Baseball that we're going to take a look at that have happened over the past couple of days. And one of those, Joe Ranieri, does include Mike Trout, one of the brightest stars in Major League Baseball in Los Angeles, MVP after MVP. The sky was the limit. How many championships can the Angels win? And now it's, can the Angels ever win games itself? Mike Trout pulls up lame again with a knee injury, but also, he's played in 29 games this year, Joe, hitting .173 on the season. The power number is actually good. 9 home runs and 18 RBI. But this is a big fall from one of the brightest stars in the game, as I just said. And now it looks like we can barely make it through quarters of seasons, let alone full seasons, with Mike Trout.
It's unfortunately, it's been rinse and repeat with him. And we're talking about a guy that was on track setting the standard and just blowing. I mean, his WAR numbers through his first healthy years, Donnie, in the league. I mean, the guy was just absolutely off the charts. And then the injuries started to happen. And it's been like that. He just can't get. If you're the Angels, Donnie, how many games were you hoping legit at this point in his career to get out of him this season? Right? 100?
Yeah.
Maybe. 100. I mean, I don't know if he gets that anymore at any point in his career. You know, here we are just turning the calendar to May 1st, and who knows how long he's going to be out with a knee issue again.
And also, hear me out on this, too. Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels. And again, nobody's hurting for money there. The guy's a billionaire before he even bought the team itself. But don't you have to have like some sort of like guidance to get from your general manager, your front office, saying, okay, we're going to be at a crossroads here. We tried the superstar route multiple times. Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. And it doesn't lead to any postseason success whatsoever. So sometimes you have to look at your organization and say, now's the time to hit the restart button. Do we want to? And the Dodgers are going to own the town. They're always going going to own the town over the Angels. But understand this, like coming into the season, your expectations, again, for the Angels were rock bottom. And let's just say you could have sold on the open market. Look, we'll pay half of Mike Trout's salary. Just give us back a decent prospect. And we're going to move on at this point. Did they think that Trout was going to be healthy the whole year, be an MVP and dominate and not get hurt, and the Angels would be good? So I don't understand this, because one of the biggest, you know, miscarriages of justice in Major League Baseball over the past 25 years was Shohei Ohtani is the brightest superstar in baseball. And you held it in your mind like, we know he's probably not going to re-sign, but let's hope for a miracle and keep him around. Like trading Ohtani a year and a half before he was done to free agency, think about what you could have gotten back for your franchise, and then did the same thing with Mike Trout when he was still healthy, and you can sell the fact that you can get major compensation back. And yet the Angels get nothing, and now we're left to say, well, where's Mike? Like, honestly, let's just say Mike Trout makes, I don't know, $45 million a year. Do you have to pay $35 or $40 million out of that just to make him go away at this point?
I don't think they can because they committed to him by not trading him, right? And that whole debacle with Ohtani and Trout, you had to, you're holding pocket aces here, and you could have bluffed your way into getting an entire new roster and picks through the draft and other players. You could have completely redone this organization, and instead, you kept Trout and you got nothing for Ohtani. And here you are going to finish, near the bottom of the division once again with an aging old superstar now who can't stay healthy and play 100 games a season. So forget about postseason. He can't even play 100 games during the regular season. So I don't know what they did. It will be looked back, I think, in baseball history, Donnie, as one of the biggest missed opportunities that we have ever seen by any organization.
And how about this? If you are a Angels fan or Mike Trout or the front office, you have Mike Trout under contract for 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028, 2029, and 2030. So in 2031, you're going to get out from under this contract, which is roughly probably $40 million or so a year, when you could have done it 2 years previously and rebuilt that franchise. Now it's going to be one of those albatrosses, just like, remember Albert Pujols was like, please, buddy, retire. He's like, why would I retire with 2 years and $70 million left on my contract?
Exactly.
Put me out there, coach, and if you don't, I'll just hang around on the bench and you'll still pay me that money. The superstar route has not worked here for the Angels. We'll see what happens in the near future, but for the long-term future, looks like Trout's going to be an Angel for a long time. How about yesterday, the Toronto Blue Jays down 6-0 in a game against the Boston Red Sox and end up winning that game 7-6 in extras. That's a tough defeat for the Red Sox, dropping to 17-15, and the Blue Jays try to get closer to 500 at 14-16. Tough one there if you had that money line.
Oh, that was very, very tough because, like a lot of folks, thought that game was pretty much in hand, and then the bullpens got involved, and, that was the end of that. But both those teams, Donnie, in the American League East, have they showed glimpses of what could be, but I don't know. The consistency there worries me with both their starting rotations and their bullpens right now. They are as mediocre as it comes right now in the American League East.
I'll tell you who's not mediocre. I'll tell you who's below mediocre. That is the Colorado Rockies, who actually staved off one of the worst records in Major League Baseball by upsetting the Atlanta Braves yesterday. It's time to pull. Baseball was not meant to be played in elevation. Denver is a great city. It is a beautiful ballpark, but it's time. Can we design, Joe, a dome in Colorado that depressurizes, I guess you could say, the 5,200 feet in the air? We can say, okay, the temperatures in here and the air pressure are going to bring it back to sea level. It doesn't work in Colorado. I'm sorry. It's never going to work in Colorado.
Donnie, the numbers are historically bad. 5 wins, 25 losses in April, right? 9 of those by 4 runs or more. That's the worst start over 29 games in league history. Oh, yeah, by the way, they've allowed the second most runs in baseball, which we might expect, but they haven't scored any runs either, and they're hitting in the same ballpark that everyone else is. It's just epically bad for the Colorado Rockies. Do they win 40 games is my question.
And also, like, from a, your owner can have all the money in the world. Pitchers, when they retire in their career, they're going to be like, hey, man, I had a 2.36 ERA. No amount of money is going to get a pitcher to Colorado for 5 or 6 years on a big deal that goes, hey, man, had a great career. 5.86 ERA, no longer going to be Hall of Fame eligible. New phone, who dis? Coming up next.
Ooh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Expensive phone calls. Now, most people in this day and age, Joe Ranieri, will say, oh, what's an expensive phone call? They all cost the same. Well, there was a time where you had long-distance phone calls, and on your cell phone in the late 1990s, if I lived in New Jersey and I tried to call south of Virginia, it was like an extra $5 per minute. But we're getting even more expensive than that. Why? Adam Schefter tweeted out yesterday, the NFL fined the Falcons $250,000 and defensive coordinator Jeff Albrick $100,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft. An expensive call was made, and we had to hear from Jeff Albrick yesterday, who did have an apology.
First of all, I'd like to publicly apologize to Shadur and the Sanders family for what occurred. Second of all, I want to publicly apologize to Mr. Blaine, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire Falcons organization. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My sanctions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself, and we will not be appealing the fine in any way. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. Again, I'm deeply sorry for our actions.
I mean, let's start here, Joe, because you could have showed a person who wasn't informed on the situation itself. What would you actually think that press conference was about if you didn't know it was about a prank phone call?
You would have thought it was devastating of all on epic proportions here. And there is so many questions I have with this. I mean, first of all, kudos to the kid for actually coming up with the idea with a buddy of his and even being able to execute it. We got to work on going a little more incognito next time when you're going to do the prank call, Donnie. That's also half of it, though. But lesson learned, I guess. But again, why are we fire the kid then if he was the one who made the call? Oh, that's right. He doesn't work for Atlanta. So what are we doing here? Why are we ringing the old man, throwing him? Did you guys not realize this poor guy had to take over the Jets head coaching job last year? Like, it has been a rough year for Jeff Albrecht there. And I don't get why you're sacrificing him to go up to the microphone and make it seem like, world is ending kind of stuff. It's ludicrous to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of dog and pony show going on right now, which, again, could have just had a statement from Jeff Albrecht to say, man, apologize. Don't know how the information got out. You know, my son never should have done that. End of story. But the fact that you had the fine and then you made this guy get out in the front of the public and read, like, his obituary out to the public, like, man, I hope I'll be able to coach again in the NFL. Like, when we really look at the optics of this, it is kind of funny to me how it's the fines. Granted, the NFL is made of money. $250,000 of Arthur Blank is like 25 cents in your cushion here. That doesn't matter. That's a tax write-off for the organization. But Jeff Albrecht getting banged for the $100,000. And also, like, behind the scenes, like, I understand, like, being mad at your son. Like, I don't know how we're going to work and be better at this. What's that mean? Just don't make prank phone calls again? Like, what do you mean you're going to work this out and sort of make that happen? But also understand this. It was a prank call. The apology should have been accepted. And yes, the NFL should send a memo next year. Hey, guys, look, we're giving you this personal information. Just take better care of it. But from Jeff Albrecht's perspective, like, what does he do? Like, here's my work laptop. It's in my office. My son went in my office, turned it on, and probably was going to send an email and saw, hey, look at the list of athletes, here's numbers. Let me steal Shadur Sanders and make a prank phone call here. So it's kind of interesting to me. Like, the Falcons maybe as an organization, 250, but finding him 100 grand direct because his son stole a phone number and made a prank call seems a little harsh to me.
And you know what? Kudos to Shadur, who was asked about it, right, during that introductory press conference there, and he blew it off Like you didn't even pay attention to it, right? Like, you didn't go into it. So, like, if he's okay with it, what are we doing here? Why are we doing any of this dog and pony show stuff? And by the way, the kid isn't 16. He's a 21-year-old guy. Like, what are we doing here? Unbelievable, Donnie. Absolutely unreal.
Like, hey, stole the keys to my dad's car at night, picked up a couple buddies, drove around for a while. I was like, don't you dare do that again. And now it's $100,000 fine for making a phone call. Yeah, 21 years old. Should have used better judgment. And the judgment was maybe not making the phone call. Don't film yourself. I'm telling you right now, Joe, if they had a camera on you growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know what I mean? Tough scene out there in this marketplace, huh?
Thank goodness they did not, Donnie. I'm just saying. let's be thankful for a few things in this world. Lack of video growing up, certainly one of them.
Hey, erase the tapes, baby. Deny it. We'll be back. Hour number two next on The Grid.